I always want to be the poster mom, but I know that that's never going to happen.
Ooh, I really struggle with trying to be perfect. I see so many moms that look like they're doing it the right way, and I've always dealt with perfectionism in my life, and so being a mom has multiplied it.
There are some days where I feel like I'm not as compassionate as I feel like I should be. There's other times where I feel like I am I feel like I just can't handle being a mom sometimes. And there's days where it's just too heavy. Life just around me just feels too heavy.
I struggle a lot. I struggle with patience. I struggle with time.
When you have two, it's harder than the first time. So having mom guilt with not having enough of one or the other.
I struggle a lot with enjoying all the phases of motherhood, and it took me a while to really discover. It was a huge effort for me to find what I enjoyed about being a mother, and finding that it really was my job and my calling to raise these three little babies. And that's been a hard one, just enjoying motherhood.
Her hugs, they're just best, I guess.
He makes me pancakes for breakfast today.
Probably my favorite thing to do with her is play games with her and play games.
Usually we cuddle together or color.
She gets me to the farm and she's never frustrated about it.
She forgives me quickly and she likes having girl time with me and she just likes hanging out and stuff.
She buys me clothes and a house and food and other stuff.
She's always there for me.
I miss her when she's gone.
Because I just know that she loves me so much. And because she spends time with me.
Loves me. And she's the best and beautiful.
It's hard to describe because she does so many things, but it's like mixed into one. But when like we're baking, she is like just happy, and I like it when she's happy, and it makes me feel loved.
Mom, I love you like so, 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 so much. Like,
I love my mom to the moon and back 5,000 times.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. We are especially delighted to be here with all of you on this beautiful morning. Thank you to those of you who are chiming in online. We are delighted to have you guys as well. I know we have some visitors today, and we welcome you, and we are honored that you are here. And there is a little barcode on the back of your bulletin if you'd like to scan in and let us know that you were here. We'd love to say hello to you sometime. Friends, this coming week is our blood drive, and I know that you'll be getting some information if you've already signed up for that. It's Wednesday, May the 12th. I'd like to say happy Mother's Day to my mom, if she's watching, and to all of the other mothers here today, and grandmothers, and aunts, and sisters, and cousins, and especially those women who are mother figures to all of us. You are especially special to me, and you've done such a lot in my life, so we're so grateful for you. Now let's take a moment and prepare ourselves for worship. It's going to be a beautiful worship service today. We have great music, a great word. I'm just so glad that you are here. Let's take a breath and still ourselves. The Lord be with you.
Sing a new song to the Lord. He has worked miracles, and with his powerful arm he has won the victory.
The Lord has shown the nations that he has the power to save and the power to bring justice.
God has been faithful in his love for Israel, and his saving power is seen everywhere on earth.
Tell everyone on this earth to sing happy songs in praise of the Lord.
Make music for him on harps. Play beautiful melodies.
Sound the trumpets and horns and celebrate with joyful songs for our Lord and King.
Command the ocean to roar and with all its creatures, and the earth to shout with all of its people.
Order the rivers to clap their hands, and all of the hills to sing together.
Let them worship the Lord.
Praise you for today. We praise you for the women in our lives, for those who are more precious than rubies. We praise you for the moms, for the sisters, for the friends, for the spiritual mothers. We ask you to embrace those who are hurting today and to comfort them each and every day. We praise you for creation and for your Son, and it is in his name we pray. Amen.
Praise God, Almighty, heavenly,
seat. Have a seat. Good morning. Good morning. Wow. Hey, I got some things I want to show you. Okay? Some of these things are things that I like. Some of these things are things that I don't like. Okay? Cool. Here we go. This is trash. Don't like that. This is fleece. You see, this is Eva's jacket. But my wife, that's her right there. Okay? She has a fleece robe, and she wears it all the time. And I don't like it. And I don't like robes in general. I just walk around the house with my regular clothes on. Okay? These are boots. These boots are made for walking, that's right. Do any of you like boots? I don't like boots either. You know what I do like? Tennis shoes. Can a brother get an amen? These are my Texas Tech colored shoes, huh? Because the green and gold ones were too fast. Here is something. I have this hat because it reminds me of my friend, Lonnie Hollingsworth. Some of you all know Lonnie. Lonnie was a hat man. I don't like hats. I got a big, ugly head, and they don't fit. Okay? You see my mask? I like masks. You know why? It covers my ugly face. I'm just playing. When I was a kid, we used to play bank robber, and I would wear a mask. So when I wear my mask, I feel like I'm a kid again. You know what I also like? Sunglasses. You know why? It helps cover that ugly face. Pick up on the theme here, okay? We're running with a theme here. Listen. There are some things that you like and some things you don't like. Everybody is different. Isn't that cool? This is what the Bible says. The Bible says you are made awesome. And because you are so awesome, we will glorify the Lord. Isn't that pretty cool? So I want you to say something with me. I want you to say, God made me great. Can you say that? Let's say it together. God made me great. Very good job. Now we're going to pretend like we're not in church, and we're going to pretend like we mean it when we say it this time. Okay? And this will be our prayer of blessing. Together, God made me great. Okay? 1, 2, 3. God made me great, and you are great. And because each of you is so great, we will praise the Lord together. God bless you. We can go to preschool praise or go back with your parents.
We remember Sarai, who was taunted by others in the household because of her inability to have children. We remember Esther, who was adopted and raised by her cousin. We remember the mother of Moses, who placed him in a raft on the river. We remember Hannah, who loved her child so much she handed him over to another to raise. We remember Naomi, who grieved the death of her sons. We remember Ruth, who gave up her family to be family to another. We remember Elizabeth, who had a child in old age, and we remember Mary, who had a child as a teenager. We remember Rachel, crying for her children. We remember Lois and Eunice, who taught Timothy faith by example. We remember other people not named in the scriptures, like the mother of the prodigal son. Nurturing God, we give thanks for those who enrich our lives by their presence, who teach us about your abundant love, who encourage us to journey in faith. Let's pray together. God, you are love. You are joy. You are forgiveness. You are there for us every step of the way. We thank you for these mothers in this story. We thank you for the mothers in this room. God, we pray for those mothers who are grieving, and we celebrate with those mothers who have just received the news that they're going to be a mother. God, we pray for these women who have been mother figures to us all of our lives and yet haven't gotten to be a mother of their own. God, be with all of us. Help us to show love to one another. Help us to love like you do. Help us to be a light into this city. God, we thank you so much for every blessing that you give us, even when we don't deserve it. You are with us on this journey. We thank you so much for your love. In your most precious name we pray. Amen.
Help us accept each other as Christ accepted us. Teach us a sister, brother, each person to embrace. Be present, Lord, among us, and bring us to
reading comes from John 15, 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Organist in town, Marilyn Arlen, thank you so much. Also on the piano today, I was noticing a special sort of a romantic connection between the wonderful woman playing the keys and the person directing our worship. So thank you, Dr. Sarah Harrington, as well, sharing your gifts with us. I would like to disagree with Jesus for just a moment. For just a moment, I'd like to disagree. In John 13, just two chapters before our gospel reading, and thank you to Reagan, you're reading, leading us in the gospel. Your voice is so important for us, and we're blessed by you. In John 13, and this is where we get the word Monday Monday, Thursday of Holy Week. In John 13, Jesus says, "A new command I give to you." Having predicted the betrayal of Judas, having predicted the denial of Peter, Jesus says, "A new command I give to you, love one another." Yeah, a new command. Yeah. As you may remember, Jesus is asked, what is the greatest of the commandments? And as you may remember, Jesus responds, well, of course, it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all of who you are, all that you have, all that you will be. Jesus is quoting the center of the Hebrew faith, Deuteronomy 6, known as the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, all that you are. This is an expected answer when Jesus is asked. And Jesus, even so, expectingly continues by quoting, and the second great commandment is just the same. Leviticus 19, love thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus goes on to tell us the great parable of the good Samaritan. Yeah. And there is a tradition in the Hebrew circles. There's a Jewish tradition known as Midrash, which just is a fun little preacher word for interpretation. There is a Midrash, just like in our Protestant circles. There is debate as to when do the first commandment and the second commandment begin? When is the difference between loving the Lord your God and loving thy neighbor as thyself? When do those stop and start? And so our Jewish friends, the rabbis, like to debate this just as other sort of religious talking heads like myself. However, there is one rabbinic tradition. There is one rabbinic tradition that I find captivating. You see there in Deuteronomy, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. Love the Lord your God. There in Leviticus, love thy neighbor as thyself. Both of these great texts are recapitulating. They are remembering the Exodus. God has saved the people in might. God has saved the people in love and in grace. God has delivered and brought the people to a new land, a new reality, a space where they can worship, a space where they can work, a space where they can be free. This is salvation. And on the way, the people are given a gift. A gift. And Paul, in our scriptures, often calls this gift the law. It would be common in Paul's day to refer to the law as simply, this is simply what we call the Ten Commandments, what our Hebrew brothers and sisters call the Ten Words. The Ten Commandments are the law, and these are given as a gift. They are a gift from God. They are not a burden. And so one rabbinic midrash says, how many commandments are there? There are only two. If you will love God, if you will receive the love of God, right? If you will love thy neighbor, just two commandments, to love God and to love thy neighbor. There are just two commandments. The other eight are gimmies. And who doesn't like a gimme? I'll take two and give me the eight. What a great deal. And all this is suggesting that really, since the very beginning of our scriptures, the very first image in our scriptures is that of the Divine Mother, that God in love hovers over the chaos, hovers over the water. This is the same word for a mother hen who births the egg. God in divine love births all of creation, suggesting to us that it is the love of God that was there present in the very beginning. It is the entire trajectory of all of our scriptures and all of human history to reveal God's love, which in turn inspires us to love one another. And so when Jesus says in John 13, a new commandment I give to you, it doesn't seem that new to me. It doesn't seem that new to me. Reverend Dr. Chris Thacker, last week, as you endured a rough 20-minute sermon, Reverend Dr. Chris Thacker, who you can blame, I think, in part for me being here altogether, pastor of Emmanuel Baptist in Alexandria, as you endured a 20-minute sermon last week, Dr. Chris Thacker got up, read 1 John 4:8, God is love, and said, we can all go to lunch now. And you would have thought that congregation is very similar to ours. You would have thought he was in a Pentecostal church house, slain in the spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, because there's, in a sense, there's nothing more to be said. This is the old story. This is the story, not just new, this is the story that will last through the long night, that God is love, and it in turn inspires us to do likewise. Yeah, yeah. So is it new? Is it old? Well, yes. Yes. And I suspect, have you ever bought a new car? Man, that new car smell. They make it in a bottle. It's not the same. And I suspect heaven, I suspect the reality, the reign of God, the presence of God doesn't smell like a new car. Yeah. And maybe you're a used car person. Yeah, we're used car people. Right, right. Maybe you're not into the new shoes. Have you ever bought new shoes? I'd buy cheap shoes just so I can buy shoes more often. New shoe smell is incredible. Have you ever opened up a can of tennis balls? Is there a better smell in all of creation? No. And heaven doesn't smell anything like this. Now, Alice and I, we're fancy. I don't know about you. Alice and I, we are bougie. Alice and I, we're at a higher class than most. So for our wedding, we registered for non-stick cooking pans. Have you ever heard of them? It's incredible. This is incredible. And we got them. And we couldn't afford food to put on them, but we looked at them and it was great. And 11 years later, that stick, as you may well know, it doesn't work anymore. But a few years ago, my grandmother died, and we inherited one, not all, but one of her cast iron skillets. Yeah. Yeah. The love of God is not new. It takes time to build up that residual flavor. Yeah. The love of God does not smell like, heaven does not smell like a new car. Heaven smells like Christakis. Have you been there here in Lubbock? Heaven smells like Bangkok Thai. Heaven smells like the Red Zone Cafe. You know that smell? It goes with you. It's a greasy spoon, a smell that stays with you, and it takes time to build up. The love of God manifests in our life. I believe it also takes time. Those relationships in your life, it can take time. It can. And I'll be honest, as a Virginian, I had no idea. We thought Thomas Jefferson was really something. And we had no idea when the Lord called us to West Texas. Now, you likely know. You know the people I'm about to talk about. But we had no idea. Here we are, right now in this very moment, we're surrounded by 3 million acres of cotton. And when we flew into this place for the first time, we saw it, all of it. And we had no idea that grapes grew so well here in West Texas. It's incredible. And not that I know what good wine is. We like any flavor, any cost, any time, anywhere. Can a brother get an amen? You are real Baptist, okay? You're pretending. We had no idea. And in the 1960s, as I understand, Doc McPherson, right, began growing grapes, local chemistry professor, began growing grapes, began making little small batches, even back when Lubbock was a dry county. And as I understand, in 1967, Llano Estacado Winery here in our part of the world was the first winery, first vineyard established in the post-prohibition era in all of Texas. Yeah. 80% of the grapes used for wine in all of Texas are grown right here in West Texas. Yeah. And those hippies down in the hill country by Fredericksburg, they buy our grapes and put their label on it and sell it for a higher price. I had no idea. And it And isn't that how the call to love one another works? You had no idea of all the beauty and all the challenge it would be to love so-and-so. You had no idea that the conditions might be just right, even here and even now, even with all the dust, that the love of Christ could flow through. Grapes bursting forth even from the desert. This is the vision of Isaiah, isn't it? Oh, it's incredible. And as I understand from those who actually grow grapes, as I understand in the first few years that the grapevine, before the bud bursts forth into fruit, that the master gardener will prune it back. And this is largely what Jesus is speaking of here in John 15. The chapter begins with Jesus saying, "I am the vine. I am the vine, and God is the master gardener." And here we receive the call to bear fruit. And as I understand from those who actually grow the grapevine, that in the first several years, the plant is not allowed to yield a fruit. And instead of the joy of new fruit, the plant is pruned back. Do you feel like you're being pruned back? Yeah. Do you feel like you've been pruned back for years? Yeah, you can be encouraged that you are a part of the vine. You are part of the vine. And the gardener is working on you. And the delay of said fruit has purpose and intent to feed your roots, to grow your stem. It takes time. This loving one another takes time. In our marriages, in our families, in our workplaces. We live in a world that says now. Yeah. And Jesus says, no. Love one another slowly. Love one another slowly. Yeah. As our country was beginning a civil war, as our country was deep in historic slavery here in the Kingdom of Hawaii, 100 years before, long before it became a part of this nation, in the Kingdom of Hawaii, a young Belgian priest, Joseph de Wooster, was sent from Europe to serve as a Catholic priest on the island of Hawaii there in Honolulu. Time out. Pause. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Please send both of us, but if you can only send one of us, I'll go. Happy Mother's Day, baby. Yeah. De Wooster sent there to serve the Kingdom of Hawaii. And as you may well know, the Kingdom of Hawaii had established the island of Molokai and sent all those within its nation, had sent all those living with the infectious disease of leprosy to the island of Molokai. Yeah. Yeah, because that's where all the sick people go. That's where all the people with problems go. Another sermon for another day. And Dave Wooster, who had some early training in the medical world, decided that he would take these intermittent trips out to that island. And he would go and he would visit and he would help. And he began to see that short-term trips would be of little value ultimately to these people. And so he moved from the island of Hawaii to the island of Molokai, which was a colony of those who lived with leprosy. In the Message version of the Gospel of John, it reads that the eternal wisdom of God, Christ, moved into the neighborhood. Yeah. We're to love thy neighbor. We're all of our lives, we're moving into the neighborhood. Yeah. Just as Christ did. There's no rush. Yeah, it takes time. And there on the island of Molokai, De Wooster partnered with the locals and they built schools. They built an aquifer, a water system. There wasn't a place to worship designated specifically as a place of worship. So he and the locals, they built a church house, and it is remembered for 20 years, De Wooster, for 20 years, every Sunday, he liked to give the welcome. He liked to give the call to worship, and he stood in front of the congregation with arms open, and he would say, "Welcome, my brothers and sisters in Christ, let us worship together." Yeah, it's incredible. Until one week, he noticed that he had a deep cut on his hand, that his hand was bleeding profusely, and he noticed that he did not feel the deep cut on his hand. And he knew what such a prognosis meant for himself. And it is remembered that very next Sunday, with a bandage on his hand, he stood in front of the congregation to give the welcome, to give the call to worship, and he looked at these brothers and sisters and friends, and he said, "Welcome, my fellow lepers in Christ." Yeah, it took 20 years. It is remembered that he refused to leave the island to receive further medical treatment. He spent the last 5 years of his life there with his brothers and sisters, learning and loving, serving. Yeah, it takes time. It takes proximity to love one another. It takes a closeness. Yeah, and as you well know, not long ago, Pope John Paul II canonized Dave Ooster, and the world celebrates him as Saint Damien. It reminds me of the words of Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, the French philosopher, the French physicist and theologian priest, who said, above all other things, trust in the slow love of God. We love one another slowly. It's incredible. It's incredible. And having predicted the denial of Peter, having predicted the denial of Judas, having already battled with James and John, who will be on the right hand and who will be on the left hand in the coming kingdom, it's fascinating to me that Jesus here in John 15 says, love one another. Peter is the king of squirrel. He's distracted. He's broken. He's selfish. And I know, for I are one. Yeah. And all throughout our scriptures, time and again, God places faith and trust. God sends commissions. David and Abraham and Moses. And time and again, these humans reveal they are broken and forgetful and selfish. It is fascinating to me. Like, what are you thinking, Jesus? Do you think they're going to do it? Or do you think maybe they'll fall short? Do you think maybe they'll forget? Do you think there will come a time where they will put themselves in front of one another? Philip Yancey describes the love of God as a middle school orchestra concert. Now, I don't know if we believe in purgatory officially. Have you been to a middle school orchestra concert? And they hand you a program, and on the program it says, the band will now play Mozart. And you have parents and grandparents, and they're taking pictures, and they're taking videos, and they're smiling, and they're cringing on the inside. And it's beautiful. And I can't help but to think this is God dances in joy at the Mozart of love that we're sharing with one another. This love that we share with one another, it is selfish and broken and bends towards forgetfulness. And God is delighted. As you may well remember, our former pastor, just a hero of faith, John Claypool, says, we are all amateurs when it comes to love. Isn't that incredible? We're all just here in the minor leagues. We're all amateurs. Amateur, sharing that root word with the Latin amor, to love. We are all amateurs. Trying to play some Mozart. Trying to love one another. Trying to receive that which is eternal and beyond imagination. Isn't it great to be an amateur? Yeah. I'll leave you with this. This is my favorite Eva story. This is my favorite Eva story that's appropriate for a sermon. At night, we try to get Lainey down, and then, unlike the United States government, our family does negotiate with terrorists, and so we try to pick a show. we'll try to pick a show. Eva likes to watch a show before bedtime routine. And so we'll pick a show, just like Peter, I get distracted. Eva, already at 3 years old, she knows when I'm listening to her, when I'm looking at her, and when I'm looking at my phone. Oh, man. She knows when I'm more interested in doing the dishes than I'm more interested in her. And so we put Lainey down, and we finally picked a show, and I run off to do something not important, and I hear that still, small voice, as God always speaks, right? And I hear that still, small voice that calls out to Allison, or it calls out to me, and she says, Daddy, would you like to snuggle? Oh, man, grace. We receive that which we do not deserve. Dad, would you like to snuggle? And the emails fade, and the dishes seem no longer important. And I return into the room where she is, where she's beginning to watch the show. And she continues. She said, Daddy, would you like to snuggle, or would you like to cuddle? Well, yes. Would you like to snuggle or would you like to cuddle? I mean, what a fantastic question. And this is, I believe this in my heart of hearts. This is how God looks to us. Do you want to snuggle or do you want to cuddle? Yeah. Do you want to receive the love that is eternal, that God is? Or do you want to spend some time sharing that love with the world around you? Well, yeah. Do you want to take some time to forget about the brokenness, to forget about the selfishness, to forget about all the distractions? Would you like to take some time, the heart of God says to each of us, would you like to take some time and enjoy one another's presence? Or would you like to be present to the fellow strugglers all around you? Well, yes. Well, yes. Would you like to snuggle or would you like to cuddle? As God has loved us, let us love one another. Let's pray together. Good and gracious God, it is your love that is more true than all else. Shape us into your love. Good and gracious God, I personally thank you for my brothers, my sisters, and my friends gathered here and gathered online, for these people whom I have seen your love flow through. It is because of these people that I know that Christ is alive, that Christ is here, that Christ really is the essence of true love. May you continue to encourage them. May you snuggle and may you cuddle with them always. In the name of true love, we pray together. Amen. Friends, if we can be of help to you now or at your convenience, we would be honored to do so. I invite you to stand in spirit or in stature as we continue to worship and respond together.
Will you pray with me, please? Loving God, we thank you for the gift that manifested in our mothers. We give you our heartfelt thanks for their unconditional love, for their lifelong commitment, for their willingness and their courage, even in the face of their own uncertainty, for their spirit of affirmation as well as discipline, for their sacrifice that we experienced as daily care and nurture. Grant them today, O Father, and every day, just a moment of peace and joy, and baptize them in the knowledge that they are deeply loved and eternally appreciated. Father, the gifts we give you today of material nature, we pray for thy blessing. But more importantly, Father, may we give you the gift of ourselves and our hearts in service to you, knowing that you hear us so much better than we speak, Father. We offer these prayers and ask for thy blessing in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you.
invite you to pray with me as you may be able. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. There was a moment Friday on the cross where it seemed even as the love of God had been broken, that the love of God had been defeated. And yet on Sunday, we were reminded that the love of God cannot be defeated. It rises when it is particularly received by those who love and those who follow. And invite you to receive the love of God. Frederick Buechner says to pass the cup of Christ is a dangerous endeavor because the cup of Christ is a potent practice, meaning we receive a new life, a new love flowing through our veins, and therefore we live in a new way. Receive the new. The new love, the new cup, the new way to be human, the cup of Christ. In just a moment, we invite all who desire to come forward. It may be helpful if you exit to your right and go back to your seat on the left. You can come forward and receive the body of Christ by just placing out your hands and let a deacon who is gloved to place that bread in your hands. We invite you to receive the cup here at the front, and you can place that back in the tray as well. If you'd rather receive communion right where you are, that's just fine. Raise your hand, and you can wave at one of our deacons. We invite you that as you come forward or as you stay and receive, let it be a reminder, a symbol, a demonstration of the love of God within you and the love of neighbor through you. Amen.
be someone who will find the Lord through you. What you say and what you do can show the world that Savior lives with his heart and with his hand, and in his nameless comfort to share.
Love and you are loved, and the love of Christ shines through you. Go in peace.